But people do fall out, and sometimes people who we try to help may even turn against us, and they may criticize us publicly, they may respond to us with anger and with hatred. And when people start to go more deeply into practicing the Dharma, all sorts of forces get stirred up, and some of them are not very pleasant. And when this happens, to practice shanti means to practice forgiveness. Not in a naive way. It's not that you just pretend something hasn't happened. You remember, so you don't make the mistake again, but you forgive, you don't hold grudges. And the perfection of patience is compared to a great ocean, because whatever falls into it, it's not disturbed. It doesn't react. But none of us are great bodhisattvas, so we all need methods for working with ourselves, with our minds, when other people hurt us, when other people cause us harm. And in the Jewel on for Liberation by Gampopa, he suggests 5 different methods, and I just want to mention those very quickly. So this is how to practice patience and forgiveness towards others who have harmed us or hurt us. So the first one, I think, is particularly appropriate with friends and loved ones who we've fallen out with. And it might be people in our own family. It might be people that we've been in a relationship with or even married to, and that's broken up. And the first method is that you expand the context to include your whole relationship with that person over a period of time. So it may be that this person who's been dear to you has hurt you, but you've known them for a long time, and you just reflect that during that time that you've known them, there's been many instances where they've been kind to you. So you have they've hurt you, but there are many kindnesses, and there are many perhaps good memories from your association with them. That way you start to get the hurt into perspective. You get it into perspective of your whole experience of the person and your whole relationship with the person. And I had something like that last summer. I fell out with one of my brothers, and I was very hurt by something that happened. I'd known him for over 40 years, and all my life, or most of my life. And it was just very good just to reflect on the times in the past when he'd been kind to me, where he'd helped me. And yes, okay, there was this difficulty between us now, but there was much more to our relationship than the difficulty. So you broaden out. So that's the first method. The second method is to try to understand the other person. And it's said that to understand all is to forgive all. So somebody's hurt you, and you see their action as coming out of their conditioning, and you try to understand them. And this, you see this sometimes when you hear someone's life story. Maybe someone behaves in particular ways, you hear their life story, and you can see their actions in the context of their lives, and you can understand why they act the way they do. And I was talking to a friend recently, and this friend was telling me that research has been showing recently that we're much, much more conditioned by our early life than we realise. Than researchers realised in the past. So a lot of the way we behave, a lot of our behaviour is conditioned by our past. So if we see that and they've hurt us, it makes it less personal. So we try to understand them. We try to understand where they're coming from, as we say. So that's the second method. The third method says that you may have a passing murderous impulse towards someone who's hurt you. That may sound extreme, but maybe not so extreme. So you reflect that by killing, you deny them the possibility of change, that human life is precious. That's a very Mahayana type of reflection. But maybe for us we could say that we don't cut off from people. So if somebody's hurt us, we don't cut off from them. We don't just shun them and cut them off, because that also denies them the possibility of change. If we just say, okay, we have nothing to do with you, you've hurt me, I'm cutting you off, that denies them the possibility of change, at least in relation to you. And also, your friendship may mean more to them, even though they're behaving badly, than you realise. And you may be their main contact with the Dharma as well. So cutting off from someone is analogous to killing. So we don't cut off. We keep the relationship alive. We keep the connection. Fourthly, you reflect that people suffer so much. You know, there's so much suffering in the world. Perhaps it's not always obvious, you know, that people suffer, but you start to look a bit more deeply into people's lives. And of course, there's suffering there. You know, it's a fact of life. So people suffer so much. And even though somebody's done something to harm us, we don't want to add to their suffering. We don't want to make things worse. So this just requires a bit of imagination, and then we can forgive them. We don't want to make their suffering worse. We don't want to cause them any more harm. Life's difficult enough. And lastly, you reflect that you're trying to develop the bodhicitta, or if you like, metta, towards all beings. Not just towards your friends and your family. You're trying to develop metta towards all beings, even those beings that have harmed you. That requires quite a lot of reflection, I think, to get to that. But I think what you can say is you broaden out your metta, you know, so you begin to develop your metta more strongly towards people that aren't just your friends and your family.